Well, good morning. Thank you for coming to our session. I said just a few minutes ago, we get the best room because this is where prayer and worship was. So the anointing and the presence of God is already here, and we can just coast on that as we go through our session. Thank you, Crystal. So nice. And now we can really start because she brought us some coffee. Well, we're Luke and Amanda Eicher. We're lead pastors in Sturgis, Michigan. We're one of the furthest east churches in Lifelinks. Candace and Sheldon beat us, I think, but we're pretty far out there on our own. But we absolutely love our Lifelinks network. We've been a part of the Lifelinks network since we started as a church. And we just celebrated our 40th anniversary in August. Not as a couple, but we're 24 years married, I think. So we have four daughters. One is married. One is about to be married. One is in grade 12. Another, our youngest, is in grade 11. So we're in a phase where our girls are moving out, and boys are coming. They told us boys would come, but we never, you know, thought about that much, and now the boys are here. So we're adjusting from being a family of all daughters to a family with daughters and sons, and it's lovely. Well, in 2020 in March, there was a friend of mine was going through some hard things, and I just felt really stirred from the Lord to pray for her. And for me, what God said for me to do was to run and pray, to do something physical. I'm kind of a physical person, and so I said to the Lord, "All right, Lord, I'll run for 15 minutes or 1 mile, whichever comes first, and I'll." And lots of days it was the 15 minutes. and I'll do that as an act of intercession and to pray for my friend. Well, that started a journey where I ran every day for over a year. I didn't miss a day. And it became this time where I could spend time with the Lord, pray for my friend, intercede. I learned so much about the prophetic as I was going through it. It was a fantastic time with the Lord and praying for my friend. And in the process, Luke started saying, "Hey, what do you think about running a half marathon?" And I said, "No way. Like, no, I have no desire. I just said to the Lord I would run this short distance as a point of prayer." And he kind of kept pushing me in a good way, in a loving husband way. And finally, I said, "Okay, I'll do it." So I started to train for this half marathon. I put time, work, I studied it. I found I quite liked learning about running and all of the adversity that you would face in running. And in July of 2021, we ran our half marathon. And as we got started, I was running along so excited. It was exhilarating, running with other people, going through this thing that I had prepped for, I had trained for. I was ready to face the 13.1 miles that we would run. And I said to Luke, "Luke, I am so happy. My cheeks hurt because I'm smiling so much." And we were on mile 3. And about 5 minutes after I said that, I hit the ground. I tripped and I sprained my ankle. Now I'm a basketball player and I've had a lot of sprained ankles. And I knew in that moment, this is a good one. And I was faced with a crossroads. I was only 3 miles in. I had 10 more to go. And I said to Luke, "Luke, I've trained for this. I've worked so hard for this. I can't quit now. I'd rather keep going." And so I started to run on my sprained ankle. And the way that we had trained is we were doing interval running. So we would run for a certain amount of time and then walk for a minute and then run and then walk. We were doing interval. That's what you do when you're our age. Well, I realized every time that I would do my walk break, my ankle would seize and swell, and it actually made it worse. And so I just had to run through the pain. And it was a trail run, and it was on Lake Michigan. And so at about mile 5, we ran on the beach. And with a sprained ankle, running on sand in general is hard, but with a sprained ankle, it was excruciating. And as I was running and tears were just rolling down my cheeks because of the pain, somebody came up behind me, and it was a man that was wearing a Marine shirt. I had seen him at the start line. He was probably in his 50s, and for some reason I noticed him. I saw his Marine shirt, and he looked like a Marine. And he came running up beside me, and he saw my pain, and he could tell by my gait that I was hurt. And he just paused, and he looked at me, and he said, "Hang on, sweetie. It's just pain. And I had no idea then that I would need that in ministry for the next few years. You know, there's pain in ministry that we plan for, we prepare for, we train for. We know probably we'll face it. We're ready for it. And then there's pain in ministry that we didn't see coming. And sometimes we have to hear the voice of the Lord that says, hang on, it's just pain. And for us, these last years in ministry have been about hanging on. Now, I finished that marathon, and we ended at Lake Superior, which is one of the coldest of the lakes. And you got to believe that as soon as I crossed that finish line, I ran straight into the lake, and I put my ankle and my whole body right in and got it on ice. And I mean, it was massive, and it took weeks to recover. But I'll never forget the lesson. And I said to a friend after running that marathon, you know, I think I'd like to try again to redeem it. And he looked at me and he said, it doesn't need redemption. You finished. You finished that race. You didn't quit at mile 3. You finished. And you don't need redemption. And I think sometimes in ministry, we have to remind ourselves in the midst of the pain that sometimes being faithful and hanging on when we're tempted to give up, we're tempted to quit at mile 3. Sometimes it's the faithfulness that we need. You know, this session, we said in our little description that it's called Leading Through Adversity, and we were laughing last night and thinking, you know, maybe we should have made the title Surviving Through Adversity. I don't know how well or how much we led in our last seasons, but we have survived. We have hung on. Sometimes I just needed to hang on. You know, Jesus, when he was resurrected, he went to the disciples. And one of the first things he did is he showed them his scars. And I just find that so curious, because I don't often think about in our resurrected life that we'll have scars. But Jesus had scars. They were no longer wounds. They weren't bleeding. They weren't festering. They weren't oozing. They were scars. And as he showed them his scars, they received that testimony. Thomas said, I believe. The disciples said, we're amazed. We've seen Jesus. And sometimes we just need to see each other's scars in ministry. Because scars, they don't sideline us. Scars don't disqualify us. In fact, scars show us God working in the midst of broken vessels. So we have scars. And this session will be a bit raw about how we've survived. And my prayer is that our scars would remind you to hang on. It's just pain. Let me pray for us. God, we trust you. We thank you for that voice that we all need to hear in ministry. Hang on. It's just pain. And I pray even supernaturally right now, if there's nothing else we get today, that we would be reminded that with you, we can hang on. In the pain that we're facing as leaders, as ministry workers, and in our marriages, in our families, and in life, God, we face adversity. Lord, would you remind us through the words today that we can hang on? In Jesus' name, amen.
Morning, I'm Luke. I remember when I was about 23, 24, somewhere in there early on in life and ministry, I got a prophetic word, and it was like one of those, you're a Joshua, the Lord says, be strong and courageous. And I remember being really excited about that at first. And I was like, yeah, every place I put my foot is going to be ground that God is giving me. But then I started cluing into something. I was like, wait a second. You don't get told to be strong and courageous unless there are going to be reasons why you will need to be strong and courageous. And so then I didn't like that word so much. But it's been an encouragement for me throughout my life. I think probably all of us who are here, we've experienced some sort of adversity in life. If you're a leader, you've experienced adversity in leadership. If you're a senior pastor or an elder or a ministry leader, you've felt pain because we work with people. And people are imperfect, and we're imperfect. And so that makes a great combination, doesn't it? We've had people say that they're with us, and then all of a sudden they're not with us. We've had people who have just disappeared. We've had people who have opposed us. We've had people who have rejected us, who have accused us. We've walked with people through crisis, through emergencies, through death, through really hard situations. We've led through adversity. We've experienced our own personal adversity, even while we're leading others. And that sometimes is the hardest time to lead, when we're going through it ourselves, and then we're expected to get up and to lead a team and to lead a church and to be the strong ones. And sometimes we don't feel so strong. So we're not here necessarily to give you a great outline of teaching points. We just want to share our stories. I was personally naive, I think, to the pain of leadership. I came into ministry just thinking like, yeah, it might be hard, but we can do this, right? Like training for a half marathon. Okay, I know what the challenges are. I think I know what the challenges are, until all of a sudden some things hit you that weren't on the description for the race. I thought maybe going into ministry would be like having a baby. Like, it'd be hard, but it'd be worth it. You know, you have the baby in your arms. You're like, can't believe I did it, but it was worth it. But I think I was even more naive. I was like, I thought God maybe administered to pastors and leaders an epidural for ministry, or some kind of spinal block, or at least some really strong meds that we wouldn't really feel the pain of leadership. But I found that you guys are laughing because you know that's not really true, right? Samuel Chand, I don't know if anybody's read the book Leadership Pain. Now, that's a winner. It's all about the pain of leadership. And something he says early in the book is, and I'm just going to paraphrase it, but it's basically like, you will never lead beyond your ability to handle pain. And that's really encouraging for us today. But it's true, right? Like, to the extent that we can tolerate and push through pain, that's going to be our ceiling in leadership and in ministry. And that's really good news. So what that means is we need to learn how. How do we lead through adversity, through pain, through disappointment, through all those things? So I'm not a pastor by trade. I went to college, university for engineering. My whole goal was to make a lot of money and be comfortable in life. And God called my bluff. So I left my engineering job in 2005 at the age of 25. No, that doesn't add up. 27. Is that right?
I don't know.
Okay. Age doesn't matter. I was still pretty young. I left my engineering job, took a generous pay cut, and started off on my naive journey of leadership in the church, and we were going to change the world. And so I started as the assistant pastor at our church. Our church was growing. We had just gone to two services, and things were going really well. Had about 450 people attending on a weekend. And a year and a half into my journey on staff, we had child abuse. You call it a scandal, really. Somebody who was serving in our kids' ministry was caught abusing a child at a church picnic, and that opened the door, and more people came forward. There was about 8 in total who came forward with stories of abuse. And the picnic one was the only one that actually happened at a church event, but the person who did it was in our children's ministry, and it got messy quick. And it got really ugly. And there I was, like, God, I quit engineering for this. And it was painful. And I don't think anybody who was in leadership in our church from that season came through it unmarked, unscathed. It was turmoil. And we live in a small community at that. And so we were that church that people talked about in town. Like, oh, you go to that church? What are you doing there? None of the leaders abused anybody. Nobody intentionally put somebody in a position where they, right? Like, we're just leading, doing the best we can, but mistakes were made, and it happened. And overnight, 40% of our church walked out the doors. I had to get a part-time job on top of everything that we're going through, and it really challenged me personally. Made me consider my calling, and I remember one night just sitting in the parking lot alone, just kind of having it out with God. Like, God, I don't know if I can do this. This is so hard. And in the midst of that, something rose up within me, and I just became very angry at the devil. And I just said, devil, you will not win. You will not take me out. I will not quit. I know that I'm called, and I'm going to stick with this for as long as God keeps me in this. And so that was a moment of like resilience and rising up in me that I had to personally experience in leadership and pastoral ministry. So, I mean, that's a long thing to recover from. It was years of recovery. 2014, I was set in as the lead pastor. Lost my parents in a season there. That's hard, leading through the death of your parents. And then 2020 came, and I think anybody who's in leadership during 2020, you understand that there were just challenges that there was no manual for, there was no instructions for how to come through it. And I think for our church, COVID revealed the shallowness of our discipleship, and we realized that people that we thought were doing pretty good maybe weren't being discipled as well as we had hoped. You know, we led the best we could, but for anybody who was a leader during COVID, it didn't matter what you did. It was going to be the wrong thing for a lot of people. So when all was said and done, which coincidentally, we had just gone to two services again right before COVID, and the church was going through it seemed like a really exciting growth spurt. We were at about 500 people, and by the time COVID had come and gone, I think we had about 220 people. When the dust settled. And, you know, you just scratch your head and you say, I don't know what I could have done differently, but yet it's leadership and it's hard. And you have to grow and adapt and learn. And we'll talk about some of the things we learned through some of these. And then 2023, so just a few years later, a couple years ago, our elder team, we were initiating a change in our church, and it was something that we'd been leading up to for many, many years, and it was time. We were a church where we had women pastors, women preaching, but we hadn't talked about it as a church, and so it was time to talk about it as a church and to just talk about why we would empower women to lead in the local church. And we knew it would have some struggle, and there'd be some people that would have difficulty with it, but we felt like we at least owed it to our congregation to talk about where the conviction came from and how we saw it in Scripture. And so that was a challenge, but what I didn't anticipate was the very week that we started that conversation with our church, my best friend and one of our elders died in a terrible farm accident. And he was the person who believed in me more than I believed in myself. He was that friend where it was easy to hang out with. He was the friend who pursued me. And leading through change in my own grief and pain, that was a really challenging season. And it's one that we're still, I think, coming out of personally. The good news, our church is doing well. I feel like there's a vibrancy, and our church is starting to thrive again after so much loss and grief here in the past few years. But that was really difficult. So I hope you're encouraged already here as we're... But, you know, leadership is pain. And whether you like it or not, as optimistic as you want to be, there's going to be challenges. You may have different challenges than what we've had. You might have financial challenges. You might have cultural challenges. You might have family challenges. But they're there. The challenges find you when you find yourself in leadership. And sometimes I think, man, it'd be so much easier if I could just be a part of the church and do the things I love and not be a leader. But that's not my calling. Our calling is to lead. And so we just want to share our stories, show our scars, and hopefully through this we can all maybe have some ministry time and encouragement before we leave today.
Luke and I have always wanted to be leaders who wash people's feet. Not necessarily in the literal sense, but yes, we've wanted to be servants. That's been our heart as leaders. But I never anticipated being on the floor in the hospital room washing my best friend's feet because of the blood of her husband on them. And yet that was one of the holiest moments I think I've ever had. And I think as leaders, as we walk with people in our own pain and in their pain, as we wash feet, maybe even from the blood of their husband, we have to remember to find the beauty in the pain. Because I could look at all those stories Luke just said, and I could see the cruelty, I could see the destruction, I could see how unjust some of it feels. I could see the work of the enemy. I could hear the pain of my friends saying things. I could feel the betrayal, the knives in my back. And I could see the loss and the death that was too early. I could see the loneliness of my husband and my best friend because John's dead. I could get lost in the pain of it. But with God, I can find the beauty. And as leaders, we have to find the beauty if we're going to lead or survive adversity. Washing my friend's feet was a holy moment that I'll never forget. In 2007, when the child abuser was in our church, it was an eye-opener for Luke and I, and our marriage, actually, and processing pain together and how important that was. And I noticed Luke's distance from me as he was processing, for him at that moment, the hardest thing. And we had a wake-up call. And in 2007, we started every morning sitting down together as husband and wife, asking about our hearts, checking in with our emotions, processing our pain. I don't know that our marriage would be where it is had we not done that. That's beauty in pain. In 2020, when COVID happened and, you know, 200 and some people were out the doors, and we shut things down and we were with our family, we had a wake-up call that we were one step away from burnout for us and our kids, that we were about to lose the hearts of our kids that we had worked so hard for. And we were able to regroup. We picked up emotionally healthy leadership, emotionally healthy spirituality, anything by Pete Scazzaro. We absorbed deeply in our soul and we got counseling. It was a wake-up call for us. That's beauty in pain. And in 2023, when we lost our best friend, our elder, and then 120 people left our church because of some of our leadership moves, we were able to learn and understand what true grief is and how to be a church where sadness and joy are welcome and safe, where sorrow and celebration are a part of our Sunday gatherings, where emotions can be processed in a healthy and safe way, and where we're not asking anybody to move too far past what God is doing in their hearts. That's beauty in pain. And if we're going to lead through adversity, we have to see the beauty in the pain that we're surrounded by. For us, that's what gets us through.
All right, we are at a workshop, so we're going to give you 3 points.
We felt like we
Here, you got one. And we will talk in and around these as we share some stories and some personal things. And well, that's all right. Do you need to see that really? So I'll tell you what the 3 points are. Amanda's going to write them down there. Number one, lead yourself. Number two, keep leading others. And number three, don't lead alone. So those are maybe just some reminders. I hope that they're not new ideas to you. But lead yourself, keep leading others, and don't lead alone. And maybe a fourth one there is don't quit. Stay tethered to the call of God on your life. I think that's Amanda's point. Sorry. Lead yourself. I have found that I underled myself for a lot of my life. And I think because I could get away with it, because of my gifting, because of my, charisma, because of those things, I could kind of get away with underleading myself. But when adversity came, it exposed me. And I think COVID really exposed me. It exposed how much of a grace deficit I had in my life. And I think when things get tough and the fire gets turned up, it will expose how well you're leading yourself. And that's been a really important lesson that I've personally learned going through adversity. And I went to school for chemical engineering, so this makes sense to me. But if you think about your life as like a tank, and in ministry, we have all of these outputs from the tank, right? We're serving people, we're leading, we're being creative, we're solving all kinds of problems. And so we have all of these outputs that are draining the tank. And so you have to fill the tank, right? Otherwise, the tank's going to empty. And I wasn't filling the tank. I wasn't spending the proper time with the Lord. I didn't have the right rhythms in my life. I was part of busy culture and hurry culture and all of those kinds of things. So you could probably have described me as a human doing more than a human being in that season of my life. And I remember coming to a place where work harder no longer worked. That was kind of my family mantra growing up, just work harder. And I remember waking up one day and I was like, I can't work harder. Like, I'm out of gas. And the alarm bell started going off when all of a sudden you start saying, like, I don't care. I don't care what they think. I don't care if this gets done. You know, when the I don't care comes, then you know you're in trouble. And I had a lot of that. I was becoming cynical towards people, and I found myself crying out to God for love for people. And as a pastor, that's a bad sign. Like, when you just don't feel love for the people you're leading. And so we really doubled down. Amanda mentioned emotionally healthy leadership. That was a lifesaver for us. And the question I really sat with was, how am I accessing the grace of God? How am I accessing that today, every day? What rhythms, what habits do I have in my life? And I began to, it changed how I viewed reading the Bible. It changed how I viewed prayer. It changed how I viewed rest and silence and solitude and all of those things. Because they became less of like things that were on my to-do list to more of like my daily bread and the air I breathe. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, I need the sustaining presence of God in my life. I changed how I read scriptures. Instead of just trying to read through so many chapters a day and move on and do the next thing, I got a journal, I read slowly, I took notes, I processed, God, what are you speaking to me through scripture? There was like a new richness that came. And so I just want to say, like, the most important thing for me in leading through adversity is leading yourself. And to me, the most important part of leading yourself is accessing the grace of God. Like Ian last night, I had to learn how to be a son first and live out of that place, the daily rhythms of grace. I started setting my alarm clock for the same time every morning, and now I have a routine. I get up, I crawl out of bed, I walk like a zombie to the coffee pot, I get my coffee. Amanda's already been there for an hour. She's happy, she's cheerful, and I make like little grunting noises as I walk by. Like, I'll talk to you in half an hour. But here's another parent tip. Like I used to read my Bible on my phone, and I switched. I bought a physical Bible. I read in the kitchen because when my kids come down from the school, I want them to know what their mom and dad's daily rhythms are that sustain us. Like, we don't have to get on our kids to read their Bibles. They see us in our rhythms, and they naturally follow suit. It's a part of our family culture. But that's just a personal thing. Sabbath and days off, I didn't know what that was, and it's still a challenge, but you have to rest. If you're leading through adversity, you think, I can't afford to rest. Listen, you can't afford not to rest. It takes more faith to stop working than to keep working. But let me just assure you that even when you're not working, God is still at work, and we can trust that. So slowing down, reordering priorities, even how we handle tech, social media, those kinds of things. We started putting our phones to bed at night. We no longer sleep with the phone in our bedroom or next to the bed. We put our phone to bed, and then we go to bed. And then I don't wake my phone up until after I've had my quiet time in the morning. So we tell technology what to do instead of technology telling us what to do. So anyway, that's my point. Amanda, go ahead.
For me, leading myself and including all of those things, I had to acknowledge my own limitations. I really liked being strong. And I really liked being able to do it all. And especially for us in 2023, in my own grief, I lost my ability to do it on my own. And I had to lean into my limitations. I love in Psalm, I had it written down, but I haven't really been following my notes, so I don't really. Oh, there it is. Psalm 103:14. For he knows how we were formed. He remembers that we were made from dust. And I had to just meditate on that. God, you know me. You know that I'm made from dust. I am limited. Jesus is limitless. And I had to just say that to myself again and again. I'm not enough. I think the world tries to tell us we are, but we're not. We're not. I am limited. For me, I have grief. I have my own personal battles. I'm a mother. That limits me in my ministry abilities. I have limitations. Instead of looking at them as a crutch or something bad, I started to embrace them. And I think as leaders, we have to embrace our humanness and our own limitations. Because if we try to live limitless, we're actually trying to be God. And there's only one God, and he's the only one that's limitless. And I had to lean into my limitations. The other thing I had to do to lead myself is I had to remind myself of my call. Because of the leadership decisions that we made and our elders' stance on women in leadership specifically, there were a lot of accusations and there were a lot of personal attacks on me because I was the woman. And I had to wrestle and fight to remind myself of my call. We would have emails sent to us saying that we were leading people to the pits of hell. We were demonic. That I was in sin. We had things being said. Friends, family members. I remember a couple that we had deeply invested in and poured into and done their marriage counseling. They would stay in our house when we would travel to LifeLinks. They left our church and then they sent a prophetic word. And that word said, Amanda must resign or face judgment. And they asked us to submit it to our elders and our overseers, and so we did. And I remember going to that elders meeting and I remember saying, like, I'll do it. If you feel this is the Lord, absolutely I will do it. And as our elders heard that word, they jumped out of their seats and they ran to me and they laid their hands on me and they said, we cancel that in Jesus' name. And I had to believe them. I had to wrestle and know, God, if I'm in sin, you'll show me. God, I'm submitting to my elders. God, I'm submitting to my overseers. We submitted that word. We talked to our overseers. God, I have to be in obedience to you. I love what James says in his book. He starts James right before he goes into all the trials we'll face. He starts James by saying who he is. It says, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. James right away is telling us, know your call. Be settled in your call, because these trials that you're going to face, they're going to shake you. They're going to make you wrestle with your call. I certainly have wrestled with my call, but I know that I am Amanda, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and I will obey him. While I face adversity, while threats and accusations come against me or come against us as leaders, we have to stand firm in our call. That's what gets us through. We have to lead ourselves. I'm not sure
where we're okay. Life is beautiful. Life is disappointing. And it's both at the same time. I think it's important to remember that as we're leading ourselves, as we're leading other people. I have a lot of people say, like, man, it just feels like there's just always something hard going on in my life. I'm like, yeah, that's life. And the temptation is to only look at the hard and we miss the beauty, right? I think it's really important that in whatever season we're in, we need to acknowledge the beauty in our life, because that's from God. And our response to beauty is gratitude. It's praise. It's worship. It's thanksgiving. God, thank you for this beauty. And our response to the disappointing and to the pain is grief. And that's not something I grew up knowing how to do. I grew up in kind of a tough farm family. My mom passed away from cancer when I was 10 years old. And I went to school the same day because I didn't know what else to do. My dad didn't know what else to do. I cried all of my tears alone in my bed at night. Nobody sat with me and helped me to process pain and disappointment and walked me through that. Kind of our motto was suck it up and move on. And when we do that, our soul takes a hit. So while it's important to celebrate and acknowledge the beauty, and I hope we have time to tell a few stories about just some of the awesome testimonies of people getting saved in our church and discipleship there, there's beauty happening all around us. Open your eyes and you'll see it. I had to learn how to handle pain and how to walk through that. I remember in COVID, just one day it hit me. I was like, I'm really disappointed. And so I sat down and made a list of all the things I was disappointed, and I was surprised how many times I was flipping the paper over. You know what I'm saying? Like, just from things being canceled, from interactions with people, I was like, I have a lot of disappointment. And I had to learn how to handle disappointment and pain. And, I mean, the last 2 years, as Amanda's alluded to, it's gotten personal. Like, my own brother left the church. And honestly, he needed to. He's in a better place. He's thriving where he is, but it's painful as you walk through that, right? And so we work through those things. And I think probably the most helpful thing I did in all of this was last year. I was like, I just am dealing with a lot of pain. I need to process this. So I took time off, and we have a family farm that I grew up on, and we had some wooded acres on it. And so I just went, and I parked the car in the woods, and I just took camping supplies with me. There was no spot or anything, but I just went in for 3 days, and I made a camp. I dug the fire pit, and I took a camping chair, and I just sat and tended the fire for 3 days with a journal in my hand. And I just began to write down, what are my disappointments? What are the pains? Who do I need to forgive again? You know, just going through it. And I practiced lament. I'd never really given lament a fair practice. But, you know, the process of lament is write out your complaint, bring your request to God, and then trust God. And I had to lament the death of my best friend. I also had to lament just kind of a broken relationship. And I just So I went in the woods 3 days, and I thought, man, I'm going to have this big breakthrough moment. I'm going to cry all these tears. I didn't cry once. I just sat there with a journal. I got it all written out. And at the end of it, I packed everything up, and I left. And when I left, I was different. I can't explain it, but it was almost just like the woods absorbed my pain. God was there meeting me in my pain. I didn't have to have like this moment. I think the discipline and the obedience was the moment. So in leading yourself through adversity, you have to process the pain, and you can't ignore it. Don't wear it as a badge of honor, but take care of your soul. There we are. I think we got time for a couple more quick.
We'll be quick here because we really want to pray for you. That's leading yourself, which I think is the most important thing you do through pain and adversity. But there are some other things that we have to do. We do have to keep leading. We're the leaders, but not without acknowledging our limitations. We had to lead differently in our pain. We had to change the way we did things. We had to make space for grief, our own and our congregations. And we had to slow some things down. But for me, I found it was really hard to lead some people because of my own pain. I felt so weak. And honestly, it was hard to love the people. And then I read about the sons of Zariah. And I don't know if you're familiar with this story, but look into it because it is fascinating. David has this great word in 2 Samuel 3:39. He says, "And today, though I am the anointed king, I am weak, and these sons of Zariah are too strong for me." Well, the sons of Zariah were his sister's children. So they were his family, his nephews, and they made a mess for him. Joab was one of them, Abishai and Asahel. And these were the sons of Zariah, his nephews. And if you read the story, they made mess after mess after mess. And I love what David says. "I'm called, I'm the anointed king, but man, am I weak. Because these people that I'm leading, even my own family, they're too strong for me." And man, I just camped on that because I had a really hard time loving the people I was leading. Some of the people felt like sons of Zariah. They were making messes for us. And honestly, we even in our own family had pain. But though I am weak, God is strong. And I remember realizing that God's not strong. I mean, he's always strong, but the focus wasn't my strength. The focus was my weakness. He's strong in my weakness. And I had to just say, "Lord, in my weakness, leading, make me strong." And my prayer over the last, for years and years, I've prayed this as a leader. "God, let me love them the way you love them. Let me see them the way you see them. Give me your eyes for the people that I'm leading. Help my heart say soft as I lead. Though I am the anointed king, I am weak. And these sons of Zariah are too strong for me." Sometimes the people we lead feel too strong for us. But we can stand in our call and know that in our weakness, he is strong.
I just got a couple quick hitters written down here as well. Important thing, leading others and leading yourself. Keep the main thing the main thing. It can be very tempting when we feel weak or when we're leading through adversity to become reactionary, to get off track. And what are we called to do? Preach the gospel, make disciples, pastor the flock, love people, all those things Amanda was saying. Like, we have to stay focused on what our calling really is. And so that was really important for us, that we just kept the main thing the main thing. We're not chasing this thing or that thing. I mean, there's all kinds of things culturally we could chase. And it's like, no, we're chasing Jesus. We're chasing the kingdom. And that's who we're going to be. We're going to be kingdom people. Shepherd the flock. So that was one thing I wanted to mention. Amanda kind of mentioned guarding our hearts. I think that's really important as leaders as well. Especially if your adversity includes opposition, I think it's really important that we practice humility, and it's hard sometimes to not be defensive, to stay humble, to stay soft, to have open ears, to invite people in, to not be somebody that's not safe for people. And so a lot of that is just, again, it's that deep work. We want to continue to lead with freedom and dignity and honor and respect. And that is just a daily battle when there's adversity going on. And then, Amanda, you want to mention this one yet?
Yeah, and then finally, don't lead alone. Man, we lost our ability to lead alone, especially in this last season. We absolutely had to lean on our team of elders and on our overseers and our LifeLinks network. We were desperate for help from others, and I'm so thankful for that. We wouldn't have made it through some of the pain that we faced and the adversity that we faced without our team of elders and our LifeLinks network, and even outside of our LifeLinks network. We had so many people that were walking with us. And to hang on, it's just pain. We have to do it with others and allow the strength of others in our limitations to cover us. I mean, Dave and Linda, Paul and Priscilla Reed, Ian and Valerie Bird, Kevin and Shelley Beeson. I mean, they all walked so closely with us through this. And we were so thankful for our LifeLinks network and for the people that helped us. As leaders, we can be tempted to think we'll do it all on our own. We'll be strong in this. We're the leaders. But it's the opposite. We have to lean on others. We have to let them help us. And for us, it would have been impossible to get through without it. We're just so thankful for the network that we have.
I think we just want to open time here for prayer. That felt like maybe the most appropriate way to end our time together. We really have less than 10 minutes, although I don't think anybody's going to kick you out if you're still in here at quarter after. So I think you're here because you have faced adversity in your life. You have led through adversity or maybe just personal adversity. And some of us have gone through really big, hard things. We've buried friends and parents and faced crisis and had people hurt us deeply. And some of us, maybe your pain or your adversity, don't get in the comparison game. Let me just say that. Like, everybody's adversity and pain is unique to you and your situation, and we don't minimize anybody's story. We don't minimize anybody's journey as you're on. And I think everyone, it's important, and I just want to say God sees you, and God cares about you, and his grace is sufficient for you. And so don't compare your story to our story or the person beside you. We simply want to bring ourselves to the Lord. Because that's where we find our healing, is in him. And we find it in community as well. And so there is something powerful about knowing, like, I'm not alone. I think a lot of times the enemy tries to isolate us in our pain and in our struggles. And it's good to know you're not alone. And so that's why we wanted to share our stories, is just to let you know you're not alone. And that you can hang on, you can hang in there, you can push through the pain. God increases our capacity as we allow him. And God heals our wounds, and he turns them into scars, and he gives us that beauty for ashes. And so I think that's what we want to invite us into here.
Yeah, I was just thinking we could just take a pause with the Lord as we enter in. We want to pray over you, and I don't know that we can pray for each of you individually, but I think we can pray with enough understanding and authority, because we've walked through stuff, that we can pray specifically into your situations. And but first, I just want us, can we just take a pause with the Lord here and just kind of quiet ourselves before the Lord? Think of your pain that you're facing right now. And let's just take that to the Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. God, you're close to the brokenhearted. And we have broken hearts in this room. And so right now, we're laying those hearts before you. We're bringing you our pain. And even as we bring you our pain, we're lamenting. God, these are so hard. This has been so painful. This diagnosis feels unbearable. This relationship struggle feels unnecessary. This betrayal feels unjust. This loneliness doesn't feel fair. This change isn't what we thought it would be. This battle just keeps going. God, we lament. This has been so hard. And God, we thank you that you step into our grief. You feel it with us. You pause. You weep with us. You enter that pain with us. You're not far away in our pain. You are absolutely present. You are close to the brokenhearted. Thank you that you're entering our pain. And now, God, as we've laid that there, we shift our focus to you. You are strong in our weakness. You heal our wounds. You put your ointment, your oil, to keep them from being infected and festering. You show up. You are the God of breakthrough. You are our healer. You are the one who sees us when others don't. You will never leave us or forsake us. You don't reject us or abandon us. You work for reconciliation. We honor who you are in the midst of our pain. And I pray, God, that we would all in this room, in every adversity that we have, in every pain that we're facing, in every question we're asking, I pray we'd be able to hang on in the face of it. Give us grit. Give us that white knuckle perseverance. Let us not give up. You are worth it, God.
Lord, I just want to pray for those deep emotions that sometimes even elude us, Lord. But I pray that you would search our hearts, that you would know us, that you would cleanse us. And Lord, we ask that you'd pull some things out by the root this morning. Lord, where there is a temptation for bitterness or for judgment or for cynicism, Lord, or for just these things that can grab a hold of our hearts, Lord, where we're tempted to harden our hearts and wall people out, God, I pray that you would break through. Lord, help us to keep soft hearts before you, soft hearts in ministry. Lord, give us a new love, a fresh outpouring. We pray for your healing to touch us from the inside out. Lord, sometimes we're feeling things that we just don't even know, like resentment or anger or frustrations. And God, we don't know what to do with them, but we bring them to you. We give them to you. Jesus, you said for us who are weary and heavy burdened to come to you and that you would give us rest for our souls. And so, Lord, we just pray for that. We pray for rest for our souls, that we would you would be a safe place for us to drop off the baggage and the burdens and our emotions and to just process it all with you. And, Lord, right now we just declare, I trust you. Lord, all of these things that I'm feeling, that I'm facing, that I'm working through, God, I trust you. I believe that you will get us through. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful, that you never leave us, you never forsake us, you are faithful. So Lord, I just pray that we would respond to your faithfulness with our own faithfulness. Just as Ian testified last night about his faithfulness, Lord, that's what you require of us. Lord, help us to lay down any unrealistic expectations. Let us lay down any things that we've put on ourselves that you've never put on us. Lord, sometimes we put things on ourselves or other people put things on us. Lord, we just put all of those in your hands. Lord, may we hear clearly your voice and may we walk in it. We thank you that you are a good shepherd, that we can hear your voice. Lord, tune our ears into your voice. Let us hear your words. This is the way. Walk in it. Lord, for the things we are facing, the adversity and the struggle, Lord, we're not in a place to handle the next 10 steps, but just show us the next one or the next two, and let us be faithful in that. Let us hear your voice and obey it and walk in it. And Lord, I thank you that breakthrough comes, and sometimes it comes all at once, and sometimes it just comes one step at a time. But Lord, no matter how it comes, we trust you that it will come. And Lord, open our eyes again to the beauty in our lives. Let us see. Let us see the friends who have been faithful. Let us see the hearts that are hungry for the Lord. Let us see the worship that is just overflowing in our congregations. Lord, let us see the beauty. Remind us, Lord. Remind us of what you are doing in our lives. And so, Lord, while we don't minimize the pain and the adversity, Lord, let us walk hand in hand with your goodness. And Lord, we thank you that testimony, your goodness and your mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Lord, may that be our testimony. May that be our story. God was good. God was faithful. It was hard, but God was with me. Lord, we thank you that you are with us. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. The Lord is near. Father, we just thank you that you're with us in this journey, that you didn't just call us to walk this alone or say, go that way and leave us to our own, but you're with us in it, and we believe that. Lord, we pray for healing. We pray for life. We pray for refreshing. We pray for the grace of God to be poured out in new measure in Jesus' name. Lord, let us be different when we walk out of here today. Because of your spirit blowing fresh wind in our sails, because of the living water nourishing our souls, let us be different because you have made us different. Lord, we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.